Black History Mini Docs Podcast.
Welcome to Black History Mini Docs Podcast. I'm Benita Brisker, affectionately known as Busy B, actress, singer, writer, director, producer, co-founder and CEO of AgriSmart Inc., an international sustainable agriculture and management company. To learn more about us, you can visit agrismartinc.com, and you can find me on any of the social media platforms, but that's enough about me. This is not about me. Today, it is my honor to introduce a great man, famous in his own right, with many accomplishments, being a world-class businessman, a consultant, a manager, a father. Some may think your most appreciated role was being the devoted husband to the beloved, great, late Reverend Dr. Della Reese Patricia Early Lett, professionally known as Della Reese. Godfather Franklin Lett Jr. I had to say your whole name. Godfather, thank you for being here. I am so excited. We are so excited to have you here on the show. I am extra thrilled. You know, I love you dearly. You are very special to me. You and Mother Della have etched indelible memories in my soul that will forever remain. Thank you for being here. Okay, so let's get to it. Franklin Lett is on the set, which, by the way, segues very well to my first question, because you were always on the set with Mother Della. Let's talk about it. How did you meet Della Reese?
We met through an ad agency I had in Chicago. A client of mine was coming up with a macaroni product and wanted to go against Kraft, which was a giant as far as cheese and macaroni. And I was an agency handling the Black consumer market, and my job was to go find talent that I could use as a spokeswoman. And I tried. I went through tapes, interviews, pictures, resumes. I had managers calling. I just wasn't satisfied. And I had a worker of mine said, well, you know, Della Reese is in town. You ought to go see her. I said, well, I know a little bit about Della Reese. We're both from Detroit, but I really don't know much about her. He said, you need to go. Well, that was the surprise of my life. I went to see her show. What I saw was a woman who was like a force of nature.
Yes.
I mean, she had a command on that stage that I have not seen in a long time. She had a voice that would boom all the way to the back of a room, and she had humor. Now, that's one thing a lot of singers just don't have. And I said, this woman is perfect. That's because, to me, macaroni means a big feast in my community. And when we feast, we're having a party. We have a good time when we eat. We don't sit up there. We'll say our blessing. We give our dues to God. But when it comes to putting food in our mouths, we are so appreciative.
We love to eat good food.
And we love to cajole each other. I mean, there's more signifying going across a dinner table in the Black community than you're going to find even in the street.
Yes.
But it's all in good nature. And I said, she would fit that. I said, this force of nature would fit that. And so I went backstage. I said, can I talk to your manager? She said, I don't have one right now. I said, okay, can I talk to you? She said, yes. I said, this is what I'm thinking about. I laid out the plan for her. I said, it's not a sure thing. I got to go back to the company itself and have them write off on this. She said, fine, here's my number. Give me a call. And so I went back to the company. And you and I had a conversation earlier this week about the setup and the payoff that comedians use as their formula. Okay. Life has that also. And the setup was that I went to this company, which will remain nameless, and they said, well, maybe, we don't know. You know, we're not really sure we want to do the advertising in the Black community. I said, it's your dollar, but it's my customer. And you have to tell me if you want them enough to spend your dollar. He said, let me think about it. The setup was, he thought for 4 or 5 months. And my reserve in keeping my staff on was dwindling down and down and down and down. I said, hey, if I keep on, I'm going to go out of business. And he was my major client, by the way. So I got out of his secretary, his private phone number to the office. And I heard that he worked until about 8 o'clock. So at 7:30, I called him. And I said, this is Frank Lett. I said, maybe you don't know. Yeah, I know who you are. I said, well, this is my situation. What is going on with the budget? I said, I'm hanging on here, keeping my people on board. We've got a plan, and I've got to get things done. He said, there's not going to be a budget. I said, why didn't you tell me that? He said, because you're not my type of colored man. I said, what? You're not my kind of Negro. I said, in other words, if I shined your shoes, tap danced, I'd be your kind of Negro. No, you don't have to go that far. I said, but that's what it looks like to me. He said, well, that's it. I said, okay. So I said, my biggest problem, I got to tell Della. I called her up and I said, bad news, and you might as well know it all. And I told her the whole story. And she said, well, that's okay. I said, you don't have to worry, but you're fine. I mean, you got a career singing. You got a career doing guest appearances on shows. You don't have to worry about it. I said, but I got to worry about what's going to happen to my people. I've got too many people on staff. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, I may have to go under. She said, well, why don't you come and work for me? I said, how can I work for you? She said, I don't have a manager. I said, I've never managed entertainment before. She said, well, you managed a business, didn't you? I said, well, yeah. And you dealt with people who had money before, didn't you? I said, yeah, but this last time, not too well. She said, you could do it. I said, I have to think that over. So I went back to my office, talked to my people. I said, look, I got to close up shop. And I told them the story. I said, now, if I were vindictive, I would go public with this to try and ruin this man. I said, but I can't do that. My teachings from my church say I cannot do that. And I'm not going to, you all know the company, so don't you do it. But just realize that businesses out there like that, and businessmen are like that, and you have to go through it. This is your testing area. I said, I'm going to give you guys 2 weeks' pay. And then that's it. I'm closing the office. I've already called the landlord, and I'm closing the office. And so that was it. That's how we met. Now, that took me into a different position in my life. My position was, okay, Frank, let's figure out how the hell you're going to do this. Have you ever managed entertainment? I said, no. Well, what have you done in entertainment? I said, I've been one of the biggest consumers of entertainment forever. I love television shows, and I love movies, and I love music. I said, but let me go see what we can do. And bit by bit, I began to learn the business of managing someone. And it took a little while, but it was a good lesson. And I might as well tell this as it is, because I think it's in her book somewhere. We became lovers at that point. I was separated and everyone, we became lovers at that point. Mm-hmm. And it lasted for maybe 3 or 4 years. And then she was on the Johnny Carson show, as you know, and she had that aneurysm burst in her brain.
Yes.
That I've never seen her fall and be that weak. Mm-hmm. She was basically unconscious. Mm. And I said, I pledge my...
Yes, Dad.
I pledge myself to you, dear lady. I will take care of you. And I will learn this business enough to help you as best I can. You don't have to worry about a thing. And we found out about this doctor in Canada who was supposedly the greatest doctor for dealing with the brain. We got her there, and I have to say, she was beautiful. When she met the doctor, she said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm not going to do anything.
Take your time, Dad.
I haven't thought about this in a long time. God guides my hand.
Yes.
He always has.
Yes.
And Della said something wonderful. She said, you can cut me anywhere you want to. I trust you. I mean, it flipped me out. It really quell down some of the fears that I had, because everyone told me how serious this was. You know, blood was flowing in her brain, etc. And this Dr. Drake, Charles Drake, I will never forget him, did a remarkable job. And I remember they had to shave her head for the operation. And she told me later she was really concerned. What is he going to think about seeing me with no hair? Because, you know, she had all this hair and she had it always styled. I came in and I knew what her problem was. And I said, baby, you've got a beautifully shaped head. She almost cried. And she said, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I, from that point on, I knew that I had to take care of this lady. This lady was a treasure. I mean, an international treasure. She deserved more than to die in a hospital bed. And she did. She accomplished so much more after that.
Yes.
I was very proud of her.
Thank you for sharing that very sensitive story. We adored her. She will be forever loved and adored by her many millions of fans. You just also gave us an inside look of what it was like being married to this great woman. Yes, 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 yes. We will forever celebrate her. In fact, we recently had a celebration, July 6th. You know, my mom, Mary Brisker, you met mom. She would come to the church and she's visited a couple of times. My mother and Mother Della celebrate their birthdays on the same day, if you remember, July 6th. So this past July, we had a birthday party in her honor. Yes, indeed. We love her. Dad, she told me how much she loved you. You were the love of her life. She shared with me that story about being afraid of being bald with you and your acceptance of her, of everything about her, was something that she said she really needed at the time in her life because the business was so brutal. And you gave her that, and she loved you with every, as she would say, and she taught me great words. She loved you with every fiber of her being.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah.
She was, it was a good life.
Yes.
It was a fun life. We had a lot of fun together. And I think one of the things that our relationship exposed, there was a lot of little girl in her.
Yeah.
I mean, you can go back to Eddie Murphy's movie where she was the big bossy, brashy thing with the cane. That was an act. She did it. And I'll tell you this, I've seen her in the act. If you crossed her, that was her.
Uh-huh.
She would come onto you strong, okay? But if you did not cross her, she was the very pleasant, humorous, very wise Della Reese. Then when I showed her that my whole life, I've been a little boy inside. I've got a curiosity that has made me do so many things, some stupid and some good, but all of them have been fun. And I got to say this, all of them have been learning.
Yeah.
I've learned from everything I've had. The failures I've learned from, the good things I've learned from, the wise things and the dumb things. And that little boy in me appealed to the little girl in her.
Watching you two together was always a beautiful visual. At the young age of 12, she was discovered as a singer by Mahalia Jackson. Thus began her singing career that continued to peak for years. She earned huge recognition, Grammy nods, which ultimately led to television appearances early on in the 60s when Black actors, especially Black women, were rarely seen. There were few roles for Black women during that time. You two were married for what, nearly 40 years? How many years were you?
I'd say roughly about 34, 35 years. We went together for about 3 years prior to that. So.
And you managed her career most of those years.
Most of the times, yeah, except when I had to step aside to do things that I wanted to do, yeah.
And during most of those years, during many of her most famous roles, you were just bringing up one of my all-time favorites when she played in Harlem Nights with Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor. I mean, I still, I laugh out loud today. She was brilliant. That's one of my favorites, Madame Vera. However, Godfather, she was an ordained minister when she accepted that role as a professional actor that she was. So this is a two-part question, because the both of you, you tipped on this also, you both founded the church Understanding Principles together. Tell us about starting the church, and then tell us about the backlash that she might have received from the church for accepting her role in Harlem Nights.
Okay. Well, both of us got a real understanding of God and what his principles really should mean to us in practical, everyday living. And that came from the teachings of a minister out of Chicago, Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman.
Yes.
Johnny Coleman had a history coming out of Unity, and Unity had a problem with a Black woman minister, and they would not really give her what she needed. And so she parted and started her own Universal Foundation for Better Living, which I got to say this, has actively, I think, 13 churches and 17 study groups still, even though she is long gone back to God, it still goes on. Well, I had been going there, and that's one day privately, I'll tell you how I got together to go there. Johnny and I were friends, but I got caught in church politics, okay? And I said, I don't need this. So I went over to another church. In the meantime, Della and I met, and we formed this relationship. She had a hairdresser who kept saying, every time Della would say something, he said, you sound like Johnny Coleman. You sound like Johnny Coleman. And Della said, well, who is this Johnny Coleman? And he said, well, when you're in Chicago, I'll take you there. Well, by that time, she and I met. And she said, you know Johnny Coleman? I said, yeah, I knew her quite well. She said, I want to meet her. And so we met. Before that meeting, we listened to Johnny's sermon. I can't tell you exactly what it is because I've had other issues, but I can't tell you the exact sermon. But Della turned to me and she says, that lady knows what she's talking about. I said, yes, she does. She's a good teacher and a good minister, if you want to, as an administrator. And she and Johnny met. And I kept saying, how is this going to go? Is this going to be cold and hot? What? Johnny looked at her and goes, Johnny was very austere. She was like this. And Della was like this. And I said, this is going to be interesting. And they looked at each other. And there were a few questions asked back and forth. And Della said, I like what you say. Johnny said, well, you should come more often. She said, I live in L.A. Well, you could come and learn what we do and maybe set up something in L.A. And that, I think, was the seed that got into Della's head.
Yeah.
As we developed and her relationship with Johnny developed, she went between shows, between appearances, she would fly up to Chicago and take these classes until she got herself licensed as a minister. And then she came back with Understanding Principles for Better Living, which we generally call UP Church. And the reason we call it UP Church is because I used to give a tag, we're called the UP Church for a reason, and come see why. Because we do everything positively. Don't deal in negativity. You don't have, there's enough going around it. Don't bring it inside. If you bring it inside, you're just going to rot your insides out. To be strong there. And she built that church and had a wonderful choir. I mean, she had, pardon?
I said, oh, yeah, I was in the choir.
She had a wonderful choir. I mean, music was so much a part of her life.
Yes.
That it had to be a strong part of the church. And I was lucky enough to produce
Message in the
Media. Grammy nominated album. And she did about three or four other ones. It is really something. Today, The church has been turned over to two very spiritual and extremely capable women.
Yes.
I'll give you their names. Dr. Sherry James. I shouldn't say doctor. She doesn't like that. The Reverend Sherry James and the Reverend Cherie Thompson.
Both of those ladies. Love them dearly.
They have carried on those principles, and they've got a nice online church. And if you don't mind a plug, go to upchurch.org, and you will see what they're all about.
Oh, it's beautiful. Their service is beautiful, and they uphold the principles of understanding principles, the name of the church. And I quite often go online and view service from here. So,
yes.
Well, Dad, we have a surprise for you.
Oh.
We put together a Black History Mini Doc featuring Della Reese. Let's take a look at it.
Very good.
Actress, singer, ordained minister, and respected jazz vocalist in the likes of Billy, Sarah, or Ella. Who am I talking about? Don't you know? I'm talking about Della. Very few entertainers possessed her kind of charm. She had a magical way of making us feel comfortable every time we watched her on television and film. Very few entertainers could match her energy in a time where there were fewer blacks to be seen on screen. Della shined with a gigantic gleam. Della turned out hit after hit on the radio. With her magnetic personality and her gift of gab, she was Oprah before Oprah, knocking out crowds on the Ed Sullivan Show. If she was on the show, you know that show was cooking with grease. Cooking with grease.
And he said, how'd you like to try out hosting? And I said, I'd love it.
Oh, yeah. Della was touched by an angel with her special light. But man, don't cross her or you'll swear you met up with Vera Walker from Harlem Nights.
Shot off my pinky toe.
I'm sure Della went through stuff in her life. We all do. But when she was performing, man, you never knew. Say her name, Della Reese.
Welcome back. I'm Benita Brisker, and we're here with my godfather, the Franklin Lett. Oh, that was so beautiful. That was so beautiful. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And to think it only covered a portion of her illustrious career. Godfather, let's back up just a little bit. Before we took a commercial break, we were talking about the church. And tell us about the backlash that Della received from accepting the role Madam Vera in Harlem Nights.
Once that Della got the script, I should say we both got it because both were reading scripts at that time. Mm-hmm. We talked about it. She said, what do you see this as? I said, it's a very good part. Mm-hmm. I said, but it is counter to what your position is in the church. Know that to begin with. There's going to be static. Your biggest static's probably going to come from church members themselves. And you might get static from the outside people who know that you're a minister. I said, but it's a very good part. With the caliber of actors that you're in with on this film, the exposure of this film is going to be tremendous. So your image is going to be out there. The only thing that you got to worry about is that image accepted as being an acting image as opposed to my personal image? I said, why don't you call Johnny Coleman and see what she feels? So she called Johnny and told Johnny what the part was all about. And Johnny said, Are you a child of God? She said, yes. Does God guide you in life? Most definitely. There's nothing wrong with this. If they can't understand that you're acting, then that's their problem. That's not your problem. Well, we were really relieved. But when we did the part and it got shown on film, there was some static from some of the church members. How can she be a minister and say those words? And I said, what should I do with these people? I said, ignore them.
You know, decades before Oprah, Della Reese was the first Black woman to host a national television variety talk show titled Della. Am I right?
That's right. That's right.
The news reported that the show was phenomenal and it was before its time. However, it was short-lived only because during that time, the producers neglected the attention that the show required because of inequality, racism, whatever you want to call it. There were rumors of her skin being too brown, her gums being too dark. Is there anything that you could tell us about those rumors or anything?
I don't know too much. All that happened before we met. I do remember she said something that the word got back to her that her gums were too purple or something like that.
That's crazy.
Which was nitpicking. That's all that was. They were pretty much like the gentleman over at the food company who had his own idea of what he wanted a Black person to be.
Right.
Black people are not going to be what you want them to be. You have to accept Black people for what and who they are.
And here we are. I'd like to talk more about you and your talents. You are very talented indeed. You're an artist in many areas. You paint, you write, you minister. You are a world-class businessman. You've taught me so much about business. I know you say, oh, I don't want to hear about my accolades, but you are all these you are all these things, and you've helped me a lot in my career. You've taught me a lot. You sing. Now, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to sing right now, but you can sing. I even have one of your originals that you recorded. But how can we purchase your beautiful artwork? Are you selling it?
You can't. You can't. I've got a young lady out in Santa Monica who is a church member, and I showed her a recent sketch that I did. And I showed her a oil painting that I did 60 years ago when I graduated. And she said, let me take these over to the Santa Monica Museum of Art or whatever they call it. And I said, no. I said, you can't put me in a gallery until I've got enough paintings.
Well, you have them all around the house.
Yes, but some of those are not mine. Those are artists that I appreciate.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm talking about the paintings that I've seen that you pulled out to continue working.
They're not to my acceptability for exposure.
Okay.
One of the worst things about an artist is he's his worst own self-critic. It's just hard to say I didn't, what I had in my mind, I have not been able to put on canvas.
You always tell me to get out of the way, get out of my own way.
That's right. I had that same problem when I had the stroke. I gave up art altogether.
Okay.
And then because my eye would see one thing and my hand could not do it, when I tried to draw it, it would not accomplish it. Mm-hmm. I spent, I think, 2 or 3 months first learning how to write my name so it was legible.
Yes.
Then writing letters to myself. And right now, every day, I have a pad of paper and I write what I want to do for the day, And eventually I went to sketching and I ran across this wonderful photograph of a homeless man. It was the face said so much. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a man who the lines in his face said, yes, life beat me down to this. But as I said, but I have not surrendered. That face really grabbed me. And so I talked to one of my church members who was a photographer. And I said, look, I want to do a partnership with you. I said, right now, I've got to learn how to walk again, which I did. And in the meantime, I need somebody to go out and shoot faces, get permission from them, shoot faces of the homeless. I said, because what happens, they are the unseen. We walk by them and we don't see them, or we prefer not to see them. And they have a story that their faces can tell and their eyes can show whether they are defeated Are they questioning, or whether their eyes are saying, I'm still thinking inside of how to overcome? Yes. We need that.
Yes.
There has been too much of me first in this world, entirely too much of that. We have to learn to give. You know, I appreciate the billionaires who are saying, I'm going to set this aside and set that aside. Fine, that's good. They put more money into politics, damn it, than they put into beneficial work for the people at large. I don't like that.
I saw one of your posts, and we'll have to, maybe we can pull that up. I saw one of your posts it's something you did with your son, and it was talking about the man I don't want to mention, but it was very profound. So what you're saying about this project of about photographing the homeless, their faces, and perhaps doing expression art, expressionalism art on these photographs is quite amazing. So you have to keep us posted on what you're doing. How we can purchase your beautiful artwork, or you just forward us, you send to the company, you send to me your social media links or your email address, and we'll post any information that you'd like for us to, or that you don't want.
When that time comes, I'm not ready for, now I got to say it the way I feel it. I'm not ready to commercialize the gift that God gave me yet.
Absolutely.
I'm not ready for that.
I understand.
I will know in time when I've done enough work and the inside of me, which is my God voice, when the inside of me says, okay, share this now, Frank.
Yes.
You've given these and you've given that. And you give this out there. Then I will do that. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'm just waiting for this pandemic thing to end.
So that we can get back to a sense of normalcy. It won't be as normal that we remember, but it will be a sense of normalcy to get together and put our arms around each other. Thank you so much for sharing your heartfelt stories with us. And thank you, Godfather, for your legacy, for your contribution to our history and our culture. You have lifted me up. You've lifted a lot of people up. And this time has been so awesome. Congratulations on all of your success. I know that we'll continue making history together.
Baby girl, you continue what you're doing. Stay safe and stay wise.
Thank you for joining us. Please look for more exciting episodes to come. And please subscribe to BHMD. Hit like, share, and leave us your comments with whatever is on your mind. We'd love to hear from you. I'm Benita Brisker. Take a break to create a very empowering moment in time. Be strong, be well, be kind.